This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 258 for the week ending Saturday, January 31st, 2015. Good morning. I'm Jeff Nielsen, also known as your captain in Roswell, Georgia. And joining us this morning from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Steve Nielsen.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here once again. Hope you're enjoying your last days of January.
I know that I am. And also joining us from Montana, Malta, Montana, to be exact, Father Corey.
Well, good morning. We're finishing up our January with snow, so.
Snow? In January?
Yeah, I know. It kind of does it up here once in a while.
That's crazy.
Actually, we've had some really nice weather. There's not a lot of snow left on the ground, so it's putting it back.
We also hope to have a couple ladies joining us, and I use that term very loosely. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey.
At some point in the show, but they are experiencing various life events and technical difficulties with technology, so... We're anxiously, no, not anxiously, because I'm not anxious, eagerly awaiting their appearance on the show. And when they come in, we'll play the appropriate sound clip, and then we'll see what's going on with them. So, speaking of, Steve, now the last time you were on the show, which you very graciously used some of your vacation time to join us last week when you were in the Cayman Islands, and so now you're back to... the lovely state of Oklahoma in the beautiful time of year. You really enjoy the cold weather, I know. So how's it going?
I'm depressed. No, that was a wonderful vacation, and I'm still in withdrawal from, you know, the sunny skies and the warm water and just being someplace else.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's all right. You know, I love Oklahoma. Unfortunately, February is coming up, and that's really our worst month for weather, you know, winter weather. So we're all kind of battening down the hatches, waiting to see what's going to happen.
You know, they before winter occurred, I think it was like late summer, early fall, you know, you start hearing some of those reports from the meteorological forecasters as far as whether or not this winter is going to be a mild one or a severe one and that kind of thing. And so far, at least for us here in Atlanta, it's been pretty average, you know, hasn't been super cold as they kind of had forecast.
Yeah, same for us.
So
we just, but you know, weather, February is always a mystery. We just never know what we're going to get.
Yeah. Like a box of chocolates.
That's it. Yeah. And it's only 28 days long. So it, you know, it sort of compresses it into a shorter time frame.
That is true. That is true. I forgot to turn off my email notification system on my computer here. I don't know if you heard that or not, but let me turn that off. Okay, good. Do not disturb, I'll say. anyway, Father Corey, how has your week been?
It's been pretty good. It's been kind of a busy one. We've got some big events coming up here, of course, with Lent, getting some of that planning going, and... big fundraiser. We've got a group of about 10 of us that are going to World Youth Day from these parishes here that I'm assigned to. And of course, that's 2016, a year and a half from now.
I was going to say, wait, is that coming up soon?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's coming up soon when you were starting to raise money, you know, $3,800 a person. You got to start raising as quick as you can.
That's true. You
know? So we've got we're going to do a big Mardi Gras celebration the weekend before Ash Wednesday. We're going to do it on, you know, the Mardi Gras time frame. So we're going to have it should be a lot of fun. We're going to, you know, give a little taste of New Orleans food here in Malta. So jambalaya and all that kind of good stuff, you know.
Don't you know? It's good to be good, you know.
You gonna fly in some fresh shrimp and things like that?
Oh, I wish. We can't afford that.
Oh.
We'll have to go with the store bought stuff, you know.
No, I suppose you don't get the trucks that come up and sell out the back.
You know, not really. They used to from like Seattle. They used to bring like fresh salmon and stuff like that, but that hasn't happened in a lot of years.
We get that here. I think we're at the limit of what they can drive up from New Orleans before it starts to thaw.
Yeah, I mean, food service now is about your only option you really have. And of course, that's, you know, however they get those going. So, but it should be a lot of fun. But we spent a lot of this week doing planning and trying to get word out, you know, on our one radio station. Yes, one radio station in town. Life in a small town. We don't have options for radio. It's one. Newspaper
on or off. Those are your options.
Our little local weekly newspaper, had to make sure to get a blurb in on that as well. So, so that was kind of fun to do those little interviews and stuff for that. But just a lot of that planning and getting ready for Lent and getting ready for all that kind of fun stuff. I can't believe Lent's almost here already.
I know. I'm looking at the calendar. When you said Ash Wednesday and Mardi Gras, and I'm thinking, what? Is that coming up that soon? Yeah, it's like
2 weeks.
Yeah, the 17th is Mardi Gras and the 18th is Ash Wednesday of February. My goodness gracious.
How did that happen?
Hey, who's that?
I hear
somebody, a sweet female voice.
Sweet voice. I'll keep all the bad words off of you.
Did you get it out of your system before you turned your microphone on? What is up with you and your computer?
Dude, I don't know. I thought, let me set up at 10 so I'm ready today because it's always an issue. And I just absentmindedly clicked on Chrome instead of Safari. And for whatever reason, Chrome just something must be missing or broken in my installation because it launches into a death trap.
Really? You should probably just delete the thing and then, you know, download a new version of it. Because I use Chrome all the time.
I do too. I mean, I used to. Now, not for Hangouts. Nope.
No, I can't either.
Really?
You know, remember, I used to have, you know, it'd freeze up on me all the time.
Yeah.
It's like only 20% as often if I use Safari. Chrome's almost every week, so I stopped using it. And if you noticed, I haven't had that many hangups lately.
That's right. You haven't failed us.
You know, I think what it is in Chrome, Flash is embedded in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's a stand. You know, you have to download it separately for Safari or whatever. I think it's more stable than whatever the version.
Well. Yeah, see, I've not had any problems with Chrome, and that's all I use. I don't even use Safari. Only time I use Safari is when I reload my system and have to download Chrome. Like Internet Explorer on Windows. Or when I watch the Apple keynote. Those you have to use.
Yeah, that's true. You have to use Safari for that.
I'm fine. I mean, I'm on now. I opened up every computer in the house to see which one would load first.
I can see you running around. Okay, will this one work? Will this one work? Nope.
Well, I'm across from John's desk. So.
Uh-huh. Well, good. We're glad that you found a computer that has a browser that you can use so you could join us.
Oh, why, thank you, gentlemen.
So how's your week been, Maria?
It's been all right. I had a student die. Is that terrible or what?
Oh,
that is terrible.
Yeah, it's very awkward.
What happened?
I don't know. I guess a heart attack.
Oh.
She was closer to our age than a traditional student.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened. Anyway, it was kind of it was really a downer. On the other hand, in the good Corporal Works of Mercy department, gosh, it's so important to go to funerals. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I know that the parents were very, very much consoled to see how many of this woman's professors turned out for the funeral and classmates and some of the things. I mean, you know, in the realm of consolation, she was gonna graduate this week. I mean, this term.
Oh, goodness.
So we're gonna issue the certification anyway, the degree. We're gonna confer it on her. But Yeah, it was kind of a bummer.
Well, you know, I guess you made a good point there. You know, the funeral's not for them, really. It's for the people that are left behind to kind of bring solace and whatever.
Oh, sure. Now you make me feel bad because my great aunt died this week at 89. Dear. And the funeral is going to happen here in about half an hour. But it's also about 600 miles away. So there's no way. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't have been able to do my Saturday stuff. And since I'm leaving on vacation, I really didn't think it was good to leave, be gone, and then, you know, come back for like half a day, do my masses, and then leave again. So, but it's, yeah. But it is good though to get to those if you can. You get to the funerals. Now, one thing I will throw this in as a pastor. Yes, the funerals are for those who are mourning.
I was it's waiting good. For that.
It is good. However, funerals are also for to pray for the person. It's not to canonize them.
Yeah, that's true. What? You mean that some people actually basically say that this person is already in heaven? I've never heard anybody say that.
I've never heard a funeral where that hasn't happened. Take it back. I've had one, but it was a very good Catholic who knew better.
I know. You always just kind of cringe when, okay, well, we really hope that that person is in heaven, and we need to pray for that person so that, yes. You know, that the...
And I always try to emphasize that in my homilies, but I had to throw that out there. No, it is important to have the grieving process, you know, and it's something I think families miss is a funeral is an opportunity for them to really start that because, you know, after the person dies, you're so busy with all the preparations and the estate planning and all the stuff that goes into, you know, the legal part right after. And, you know, they forget. Sometimes I think they do forget we just need to stop and remember.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I just cringe every time I hear some so-and-so was such a good person and I know they're in heaven. It's like, I know that person.
I've heard their
confession. Oh, no. Well, you know.
It might be a while.
In my mind. Corey.
Father Corey's going to go, well, I knew Jeff Nielsen and... I don't know. Yeah. We really, really need to pray for that guy. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I've got to tell you guys, this wasn't a Catholic funeral. And actually, it was the whole thing was a remarkable experience for me. And the pastor got up and he says, well, let's talk about the program today. And so everybody whips out the program. He says, now we're going to open the floor for people to come up and have some thoughts or express some thoughts. And he says, so I'm going to, and he waves to his right and he says, so I'm going to let three people line up here, and you're going to get 2 minutes each. If you're talking and you finish, that's wonderful. If you're talking and I stand up, you're done.
Wow.
We got a schedule to it here too.
Yeah.
Where this person is, maybe time doesn't have any effect, but here we're still all here on Earth.
But wait, there's more.
Oh no. Okay.
Then he says, and there's going to be no singing because if you look down the program, so and so is going to sing a song. So there will be no getting up and singing.
You got our one song, that's all you get.
And he says, and you're not going to deliver a eulogy because that's what I get to do. You see down there where it says Pastor so and so? That's what my job is.
Sounds like this guy's a little bit of a character.
I think he's probably officiated at a few too many funerals.
Do you think it was hilarious?
Well, speaking of eulogies, I had something like that where, first of all, I hate eulogies at Mass, you know, and I always do them like the absolute last minute. I do everything. I do the, you know, let us take our brother or sister to her place of rest, And then I say, but before we do that, please be seated. Member, family, a friend wants to say a few words. They want to do eulogy. Fine. You know, it's going to be after Mass is done. And that's the point when it's done. So we had, oh, it's a pastor. He's from Great Falls. He's a friend of the family. Okay, fine. He knows how to speak at least. He gets up there and it's a eulogy like every eulogy you've ever heard. So-and-so is a wonderful person. They've done so much for the community, so much for the families. Here's all these wonderful stories. You know, and he's going on and on and on and on. And it's like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I've already taken off my vestments. I'm standing in the back in the entrance of the church with the funeral director. We're kind of looking at each other, looking at the watch, you know, going, how long is this guy going to go on? And then after about 25 minutes, he goes, and now I'll invite others to come up and say a few words. And I'm back there going, no. And he goes, well, the pastor's back there saying no, so I guess we better call it at that point.
That's when you need the shepherd's crook to just hang some people off of this.
And it's just like, oh, do not go there. That was the wake last night when everybody stood there for 3 hours doing that. Oh. We do that at the funeral home. We do. It's kind of weird, you know, that they still do the traditional rosary here, and they've done that for years. And so I do the rosary at the funeral home because it always leads right into a formal wake. So people get up and they're sharing stories, and it's kind of a formalized thing where everybody takes their turn. It's not like people are just gathering around talking and visiting. There have been times when people have been there for 3 hours just sharing stories. And it's just like, I don't stick around for that much.
I think I'm going to write my own funeral program.
Are you? Will you give people 2 minutes?
No, I don't want a eulogy. But, you know, I'm going to have in there, thou shalt not sing Danny Boy.
What about Lord of the Dance?
Yeah, you could do it like here. You could have Old Rugged Cross.
Yeah.
Well, it is time for our first break. We'll continue talking about our wonderful funeral experiences, perhaps, after we come back. But just a quick reminder that today's show, and most of the shows, Catholic Weekend, are sponsored by you, the listener, and all of our friends of SQPN help to keep us going and help us to produce shows like this one, Catholic Weekend, and Father's The Break, and The Walk, and Geek Week, etc., and all the secret shows. So thank you very much to all of you who have contributed your hard-earned money over the years and continue to do so. If you'd like to, please head over to sqpn.com/donate, and there you can become a friend of SQPN. In fact, right now, let's see if I do this right. If right over here, maybe, if you're watching us on the Catholic Weekend live page, there should be something over there in that right column to become a friend of SQPN. And also there, you'll see links to Amazon.com and also our partner in web hosting, Bluehost.com. Now, let me say something about Amazon.com, which we've been talking about using the links there, which really help because a portion of your purchase goes to our organization. And then there's also something called Smile at Amazon. And it turns out, I didn't know this, and I was promoting that as well, is that we don't get quite the percentage that we do if you use one of those links that are listed on our website over there. So please try to do that instead of the Smile thing, because it's like half of the amount that we would get otherwise. So something to consider. So thank you very much for your support. Again, sqpn.com/donate is the place to go to help us out in our efforts in the new evangelization. All right. So just a little quick break, and they should be fading out. Yep, there they go. Okay. The thing about funerals, and we were talking about all the funny stories about them and everything else, but for me, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, it's just like it's a way to kind of take yourself out of the world for a minute, at least if you're not actually actively involved in one of the family members and all the arrangements and, you know, the graveside arrangements and all these other things that you have to worry about. But if you're just attending, it was a friend of yours or an acquaintance or whatever, and you're just going there for support, it really, for me, is a way to kind of go, okay, yeah, this, the whole point of us being here on Earth is that, you know, it's a short period of time and we're going to be living our eternal lives somewhere else for like forever. Mm-hmm. And it really, for me, it kind of helps me to realize, oh, maybe I should really be paying more attention to my soul, because this person that we're here for today, you know, they are now dealing with their eternity, and hopefully it's a positive thing. So it just helps me to reflect on my own life and my own soul, and if I'm, you know, doing a good job with it.
Exactly it, you know, and it's kind of a tragedy when you hear people that they won't go to funerals. They don't want anything to do with funerals. They don't want to be there. They don't want to hear it. Because they don't want to be faced with that fact that, you know what, our lives are short, you know. Yeah, we might have 80 years, 90 years, if we're lucky, 100 years, you know, with, who knows where medical technology will be in 20, you know, how long we'll be able to live. But our lives are still, when compared to eternity, they're pretty short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? A blink of an eye, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and We need that reminder once in a while too. It's like, you know, and of course that reminder that how I live my life now depends on where I spend my eternity.
Right.
I definitely need that reminder.
Yeah, I want the no smoking room.
Exactly. I always kind of joke as I'm aiming for heaven, but I'll grab onto purgatory by my fingernails if I have to.
I'll take that. I'd like to go straight up, but you know.
Yeah.
If I have to do the little detour thing, you know,
or,
that's
good. Or it can do the, was it Amy Wellborn?
Amy Wellborn?
Yeah. Her little quote she has, about the only chance she has to get to heaven is she, if she becomes a martyr quick enough, you know, or, you know.
It's a Flannery O'Connor quote. Yeah. I could be a martyr if they kill me quick.
Yeah, there you go. Slaughtered it, of course.
So a lot of these cases have been brought up to the U.S. Supreme Court lately. And one of them is a story that we talked about earlier sometime last year. I think it was in the summer or fall, about a Louisiana priest on the Seal of Confession. And they're wanting him to break the seal, and it looks like the U.S. Supreme Court has declined to hear a petition from this Louisiana Catholic right. diocese.
As I understand it, what they wanted was a girl who, now a woman, I guess, who was abused by a man and pressed charges, sued this man, basically. She had confessed it, or at least had gone to the priest for counseling, as she puts it. The priest insists that, you know, anything that they say is under the seal of the confessional. The fact that he even met with her is under the seal of confessional, basically. He hasn't said that, but that's basically what it is. She wants to be able to testify that she told this priest, who is a mandatory reporter, priests in many states are mandatory reporters when it comes to abuse, that if they hear it, they have to report it. That she told this priest this abuse was going on, but not within the seal, not within confession. Well, the priest, the diocese is basically saying on behalf of the priest that this puts the priest in a bad situation because he cannot testify whether or not he met with this girl, whether or not he heard her confession or heard this report of abuse, because it is under the seal. If he says anything, he will be violating the seal. And therefore, by having her testify that she told the priest, puts the priest in a position where either he violates the seal or he has violated mandatory reporting laws. Either way, the priest is in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, either he's violated church law or he's violated civil law. And it puts him in a position that he cannot do, you know, legally he should not be in that position. Well, this the Supreme Court refused to hear, was it the district court, federal district court, said that she should be allowed to testify and should be allowed to testify that she said this to the priest. And the Supreme Court did not decide to hear that. So if that is the current standing. It sounds like sometime in, I want to say it's as far away as like June, but maybe it's not quite that far. I think it's in April. I can't remember. I looked at the article a week or so ago, and I can't remember exactly when it is.
I don't see it either.
But sometime coming up, there's another trial date set where she'll go to testify, and of course that priest will be called, and that priest will have to basically say, "I cannot speak on matters of this because of the seal of the confessional."
And then it'll be in the news again, and we'll be able to talk about it and see what happens.
Yeah, right? Needless to say, you know, a lot of priests, myself included, are watching it very closely because, you know, whether it's, you know, the fact is whether it's the seal of the confessional or not is for the priest to determine, not for a court, not for a judge and jury. It's for the priest. And if the priest says he can't do it, that's the point where the church basically needs to tell the government, back off. This is our realm, not yours. You know,
yeah.
you keep trying to tell the church to back off. Well, this is our point where we tell you to back off. It's possible that if the courts push the point and it does go to the priest is called to the stand, he could be thrown in jail for contempt of court for refusing to testify.
Well, I think we need to keep him in our prayers. Father Bahi, B-A-Y-H-I, mm-hmm. Bahi, Bahi, something like that.
Priest of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yep.
So... very interesting.
Did I hear Otis in the background, Maria?
Yeah, he's miserable. His daddy just left.
Oh.
Oh.
Poor guy.
Whatever. He's like, oh, I got to sit at this woman's feet now.
Oh, the poor dog.
Could be outside. It's cold outside. Maybe he'd rather be
out. That was part of the problem, is that he was outside and John let him come in, but...
No. 40 degrees right now here in Roswell. That's not bad.
No, that's not balmy.
Yeah.
You know, for you guys, that's you know, the end of the world is coming. Hell has frozen over because it's 40 degrees. No, it's 24 here, so.
Well, everything is relative. My mother was telling me about how cold it was. And it was, I said, how cold is it, Bob? She says, oh, my goodness, it's 67 degrees.
Oh, my.
Like, oh, Mom.
How does she handle?
She just couldn't. She was so bundled up. She told me she was in sweatpants and thick socks. And I'm like, Mom, take a picture. I just want to see you. You guys know that she's in Miami. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
67 degrees is the dead of winter.
And I'm sure she would love someone like me who would be down there in shorts and t-shirt going, oh, this is the life. You know?
I mean, my son was just down there a couple of weeks ago. He went down for a visit and he was in shorts and barefoot the whole time. And I think they went swimming.
And your mom's
she was scandalized. Oh no. There's a picture of my son wearing, you know, the funny caps with the things on the side, like Jane from Firefly. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
got this big old parka on, and then when you zoom out, he's in shorts and flip flops, and you can see the snow. You can see the snow falling. And he's like, once I get into the building, it's hot, and then I have to, you know.
That's not an uncommon thing to see on a college campus.
Nope.
Park it and flip flops.
Nuts.
Well, you know what? I feel kind of sensing a lull here, so let me do this here. Oh, got a couple things going on there. Hang on. How do I turn this one off? Well, that's Sleaze Factor in the background. What I was going to do is going to do a little bit of a quiz show, but that'll have to wait until the very end of this bottom of the hour break. Yeah, we're kind of doing this a little bit more loosey-goosey than we used to. You know, that exact 1 hour broadcast clock. Well, you know, we're kind of moving away from that, I think. So, well, there's the end of our bottom.
That.
Yeah, so much for that. It was an experiment, we said. It was an experiment. But anyway, that is the conclusion of our bottom of the hour break. But what I was going to say during that break is that, again, thank you for your support. And head over to sqpn.com to check out all the other great programming that we have over there. And also, we'd like to say that we don't want you to forget that our Catholic New Media celebration is going to be June 7th, and Maria and I are hard at work coordinating a lot of the details. There are a lot of details, I'm finding out.
Many details.
Yeah, and in fact, after our recording of the show today, we're going to be talking about some of those things. But anyway, it is a go. It's a green light, and you need to make sure that you're putting that on your calendar, because it's going to be a lot of fun, especially this year. As we've mentioned before, it's going to be very much a kind of a homecoming, celebrating our 10 years in the whole world of new media, Catholic new media. And we mentioned that the opening keynote speaker is, yes, the one and only Greg Willits. Mm-hmm. And he and Jennifer and the whole family are going to be coming from Colorado to Georgia to join in the celebration. And we hope to have a bunch of people from the past, affiliates, et cetera, coming together, and we have a lot of great stuff planned. So again, remember that that's Corpus Christi weekend, and that's also the weekend that the Archdiocese of Atlanta puts on the Eucharistic Congress, and that in itself is an event worth going to, but you have the added fun of the CNMC the day after. So come and enjoy the Eucharistic Congress and the spirituality of that whole thing on Saturday, the 6th of June, and then stay for the CNMC the next day. I think you'll be glad you did. Look for information and details about registration, hotels, etc., coming up very soon.
How soon?
Very.
Very.
Very soon. I'm not going to be pinned down by an exact date, but it'll be very, very soon. Okay. What?
You can do it.
Yes, we can do it. With the help. With a little help from our friends. So, okay. So let me try this again here.
Are you playing Sleaze Factor again?
No. I'm doing this. This is what was playing over Sleaze Factor. I just have too many knobs and too many sound making devices going on here connected to my mixer. Okay, Lynn Francisco put together a little quiz for us, so why don't we just see how many of these we can tackle. Coming up this next week, is it this weekend? The Feast of the Presentation? Or is it
this coming week, I think.
Coming week. Hang on. I got it. Okay, that might be actually one of the
quiz, and then you don't have the stuff in front.
Well, okay, I didn't prepare very well. Okay, I wasn't at the rehearsal.
Gee whiz!
Okay, this Sunday, by the way, is the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's a very special Sunday.
Yeah.
And then, so anyway, let's get on with this. What day is the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus at the Temple celebrated? Okay, so wait.
Okay, next week.
Hang on.
Well, can I guess?
Wait, hang on. I got to do this.
Google.
No Googling. That's cheating. Okay. Let me stop this and this. And what do you have, Steve?
Well, I know that it is usually, well, in the parishes I've been to, it usually happens around the same time as the Feast of St. Blaise. Is that right?
Okay.
So it'd be like the first part of February?
It is. Let's nail it down even closer.
Here, hold on 1 second. Siri, when is the feast?
Well, I know St. Blaise is February 3rd, so yep. It's probably near that.
Yes, very close. Just subtract one.
Subtract one.
February 2.
You got it. Oh, it is the.
You gave that to him. gave that to him.
And this is my. This is coming in handy.
Ooh,
my
actual real. Bill.
Yeah, right. My real bill.
All right. All right.
Okay, so February 2nd. Now, name at least
That's
one.
Groundhog Day too, right?
Yep.
Oh, it is. Oh shoot! I need to get that film.
I got you, babe.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Groundhog Day.
I love that movie. I need to get that. Make sure that we can play it. Okay, name at least one other traditional name for this feast.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Wait. No. I don't think
the Eve of St. Blaise.
No. The Vigil of St. Blaise. Yeah, no. How about Candlemas?
Purification. Oh, Candlemas.
Oh, you were onto something there too. It's also the Feast of the Purification of the Virgin. Yeah. And the Meeting of the Lord.
But, I get half a ding. Can I get half a ding?
Yeah,
okay. Thank you.
It's a very quick one. And what mystery, by the way, does this feast appear of the mystery of the rosary?
In the rosary?
Yeah.
It's the
fourth joyful.
Oh, he nailed it. Fourth joyful mystery. Okay.
I can never remember those. I have to tear. I can never remember the mysteries. I don't know what it is.
I can remember most of them except the Luminous. I'm still having trouble with that one. I have to look at something and go, okay.
How about if you pray them every day?
Well, you know, if I pray them every day, then I wouldn't have any trouble remembering them. So I guess I'm busted. Yeah, well, I think.
I admit, I still have to sit here and count on my fingers as I'm doing the Luminous. So.
Okay.
I have a little guide that I use, and it is not. Embedded itself in my memory.
Yeah. So where in the Bible is this event described? Which gospel?
Where? Oh, I was going to say in one of the gospels.
Yeah. Which one?
In the New Testament. Towards the end.
Yeah, in the New Testament gospels.
I got a 1 out of 4 chance. Yeah.
Luke.
Yes, you
That's
got
a
it.
Good guess.
I was going to say, yeah.
And it's Luke chapter 2, 22 through 40. Okay, so what exactly is this event? So here we go. What is the presentation of Jesus in the temple? What's that all about?
Well,
I'll leave that to the cleric.
Figures.
Okay, well, I'll read it. Lynn put the answer is Mary and Joseph present baby Jesus at the temple 40 days after Jesus' birth to complete Mary's ritual purification after childbirth and to perform the redemption of the firstborn son. And?
Well,
now,
how to stump Catholic people.
The prayer that Simeon prayed is also known as what?
Oh, that's,
I know what that is. The Canticle.
The Canticle of Simeon, and it's also known as, in Latin,
Nunc Dimittis.
Ooh, man. You get lots of points for that one. Okay.
Now, is this,
I've read it in Latin before, so.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel.
Prayed every night at evening, at night prayer.
Yeah, it's part of the breviary or the hours, the liturgy of hours. And wasn't that the last thing that Simeon was told that he would not die until he saw the Messiah?
Yep.
And
he was given that promise.
Yeah. So his eyes has seen the salvation, which God has prepared before the face of all people. So that was it for Gethsemane. You don't hear from him too much after that one.
No.
Nope.
He's kind of in and out. He's a quick.
Anyway, so, well, that was fun. Thank you, Lynn, for preparing those questions. And as we mentioned, St. Blaise is the 3rd of February next week. And I guess that's the one where we have the blessing of the throats, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that
candles.
Yeah, I didn't get that done last year. I need to do that this year. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be on a trip. I'm going to be in Augusta, Georgia. Maybe there will be a Catholic church nearby where we're, wherever we're staying. Augusta, yeah, yeah.
Augusta. I'm going to be in Athens next month.
Are you?
In Georgia.
Oh,
yeah.
You should. Do you come by? Are you going to fly into Atlanta?
I don't know yet. Well, probably. I haven't made my arrangements yet. But yeah.
Well, you need to. We need to have a gathering.
Yes. How was your Roach Motel the other night?
I survived. I don't think I brought any little critters back with me. So,
so we have some insider information here that Maria is referring to. Did you write about it on your blog, Steve?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, you probably will then.
Yeah.
But coming back from his wonderful vacation in the Cayman Islands, had a little bit of a travel issues or problems with transportation?
Not always.
So tell us about that.
Well, you know, when you travel that much, the odds are in your favor that something is going to happen.
Yeah, but this is another one of those unusual things. Just as I was getting to the departure lounge, they come on the PA system and said, due to a minor incident with an aircraft on the runway, the airport is now closed. And we're all like, what does that mean? it turns out this cargo plane had landed and had a steering problem of some kind, and it ran off the runway into the dirt and got stuck.
Oh, geez.
And it took them 4 hours to figure out how to move this plane. Well, it was loaded with fuel and it was loaded with cargo, so they had to take trucks out there and unload all the cargo, and I guess they unloaded the fuel. Anyway, it took them 4 hours to finally pull the plane back onto the tarmac, and so that caused all kinds of flight cancellations and delays, and we weren't sure if our plane was going to make it. And one thing after another, we were supposed to leave at 2:40 in the afternoon. We finally leave about 6:30 p.m. Have to make a stop in Miami to change crews because the inbound crew had been delayed. So I finally get to Atlanta like at 11. I should have been home. I should have been back in Stillwater by then. And I only made it about halfway. And so they put us up. The airline didn't have to do anything for us because it wasn't their fault, but they put us up in a hotel room.
You know. And what airline was that?
The airline that treated me so well?
Yes.
Why, that was Delta Airlines.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Oh, how nice, because I know it wasn't United.
I mean, they did the best they could. And they weren't responsible for it, but they still treated us well. So they're my favorite airline.
Mine too. Thank you.
Yeah, mine too.
So what is it about?
Anyone that's not the other one is my favorite.
What is it about monks and beer?
What is it about monks and beer?
The two just go together. You know, we should have Sarah on with us. Where is Sarah?
She's moving furniture. She's a slacker.
Yeah. As craft beer continues to rise in popularity in the United States, the ones responsible for creating Western brewing practices are reclaiming their own.
Yep.
Anyway, there's a good article here that Lynn put in the show notes, a special report from the Catholic World Report, Brew Evangelization, the Ongoing Renaissance of Monastic Beer.
You know that I was at, I guess I can name the place, Brick Store in Decatur the other day.
Uh-huh.
And not too long ago.
No, don't name it.
No, I shouldn't name it. Whatever.
I don't care.
And they're selling Spencer beer now.
Oh, nice.
Interesting.
Still haven't had the chance to try that. I'll have to hopefully be able to get some when we come back to the East Coast.
Sarah shared one bottle with me. It's a little expensive down here, but she shared one bottle with me. It was delicious. And I really should have had it while I was at the Brick Store, but I had something else. I had the Hefeweizen. Tasty.
It was interesting. They talk about the combination of bolstering monastic life and creating a more dynamic engagement with our culture has the potential for what has been called a brew evangelization. I like that. Brew evangelization.
Well, it definitely fits with Sarah's book, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole theme of her book.
Catholic Drinkies Guide to, right?
Mm-hmm. Evangelization, I think. Or what is it exactly? Sarah? What is it, Sarah? Oh, wait a minute. Sarah's not right here. Sarah's not here.
I guess we can't promote her book then.
No. Sorry.
Promote my book.
Let's promote your book. How's that going?
Promote my book. It's in the midst of getting a title finalized and a cover finalized, and then I will share with you the excitement.
Yay! All these people writing books.
All these people writing books. I'll tell you how my book ended up happening. I posted some scandalous thing on Facebook that led to a little call. Hey, write that book.
Interesting.
Yeah, a little teaser.
Our last break right now. It's Alan Marchand and the gang are playing in the background. Llewellyn's Leap is the name of this one. And again, we don't need to take a break. We've taken too many breaks. There we go.
Give us a break.
Why Are Priests So Happy? By Roxanne Solanin on CatholicMom.com. This is old news, but from a study done several years ago, 2011. Wow. Remember way back then? She says, I remember reading about it, and I've thought about it a lot in the ensuing years. The finding that priests are among some of the happiest folks around. And so what do you think about that, Father Corey? Are you happy?
Well, I can tell you that the two articles that we just talked about, they don't fit. You know, they aren't happy because they're drinking lots of beer. At least I hope not.
Well, that might be part of it.
Although it does contribute.
Yeah.
It does contribute. Uh-huh. No. you know, it's, I would say, you know, most of my brother priests that I would say are happy, and there are some that even in every diocese, every religious order, they're not happy. But, you know, some people, it's because they're naturally just bitter. You know, I mean, priests aren't immune to that either. You know, if you've ever known someone who just, the only time they seem like they're happy is when they're grousing about something. You know, priests are like that too. But I would say most priests, they're happy because they're truly serving. They're truly giving of themselves. They're truly showing the example of Christ in the world. And maybe, you know, we don't always live up to it. We're just as fallible humans as anyone else, and we fall short of what we're called to do. But I think, you know, we are an example that's counter to the world, and the world doesn't know how to handle us because, you know, they say to be happy, you need wealth. Well, priests don't make a lot of money. I definitely didn't become a priest to get rich, that's for sure. Contrary to some atheist opinion, there isn't a lot of money in religion. Priests aren't popular. Priests aren't, we don't have families. We don't have, you know, significant others, you know, all these things that people say that you have to be happy. We don't have that. And yet most priests I know are pretty happy. There might be parishioners. There might be circumstances in their parish that upset them. I know I've got my share, but for the most part, you know, most priests I've met, I agree with that article, are very happy. They're happy to be priests. They're happy to serve. They're happy to serve Christ and his people. You know,
this in the article here, she says, many years ago, I attended a retreat given by an old Irish priest, and he defined happiness as the merging of the desires of the heart, the interior, with the lived reality on the exterior. The more those two are in sync, the happier the person. And that kind of brings us back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, you know, the funerals and how sometimes it kind of brings to the forefront the interior and the exterior, and it kind of places us in a place to look at whether or not our interior and exterior are matching or syncing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and it's so interesting in a culture where it's everything about the wants and the desires is what you're supposed to get to be happy. You know, the Christian message is that's not it. To be happy is to be in union with God. And that, you know, that's a very countercultural message. You know, think about, there's this football game coming up tomorrow.
We haven't even mentioned it yet. I can't believe it.
Yeah, you know, people don't really watch it. People don't really care about it. No, I mean, you know, of course, we got the Super Bowl coming up tomorrow. And what are all the commercials going to be about? You know, everybody raves about the Super Bowl commercials. Mind you, I think they're all on YouTube now. They don't even bother waiting till the Super Bowl to release them.
Yeah.
they're all about stuff you need to buy to be happy. You're going to be happy if you go to a party where they serve this kind of beer. You're going to be happy if you drive this kind of car. You're going to be happy if you eat this kind of food. You're going to be happy if, you're going to be happy if, you're, you know. And in the midst of that, we have the Christian message of, no, real happiness is uniting your heart and soul with God. You know, and having that union of the interior, because our interior desire is for God. And uniting that with that desire, with our, you know, how we live our lives. Yeah, I love that quote about the uniting the interior and the exterior.
So mm-hmm. How do you break away from these temperaments that make you, you know, a gloomy Gus?
You know, I think it's a lot of, some of it is just people's general attitude on life. You know, some of it is they've been so steeped in the negative that it's hard to see the positive. You know, some of it might be just kind of their mental state. You know, some people are naturally very positive, some people are naturally very negative. You know, it's the optimist versus the pessimist. And, you know, honestly, I think it's something of, first of all, prayer, always prayer. Always asking God for that grace, you know, the grace to recognize His gifts, the grace to recognize His work in the world. And for some people, it may very well be a lifelong struggle. That might be their cross they have to offer up, is just constantly seeing the glass half empty.
Mm-hmm. And I think another key to happiness is Ultima One. Day one.
Here we go. This is going to be the first real stream.
I've been doing some actually online going gaming. To be,
streaming. Sorry, I was playing it in the background there.
I heard it. That's why I was talking over it.
So I'm in front of the computer a few days ago, and all of a sudden I see this tweet or something, and Father Corey is talking about Ultima One. I think, what the heck is that? And yeah. Commodore 64 game, I guess.
Yep. Right? Yeah. I've been wanting to do some online video game streaming. You know, I know Father Roderick, he'll play a game and he talks about it in his Pixel Priest and things like that. And I've been wanting to do some. Well, my computer's older, so I can't do something like Minecraft, a newer game. But I've always loved these old role-playing games. I've always loved them. The old Ultima series of role-playing games. They're kind of the classic. And kind of the standard for role-playing games, at least they were. And so I decided, you know what? I've got an emulator. I've got a program on my computer that pretends it's a Commodore 64, and the game thinks it's running on a Commodore 64, and I play it. Of course, I've got my real Commodore sitting right behind me here, too, that I use once in a while.
Cool. Oh, my gosh. I'm judging you.
Thou shalt not dad, judge.
Wow.
Yeah, I put out a thing I thought Father Roderick was a geek.
I make no bones about it. I know it's pretty rough. My first attempts at doing live streaming are not going to be pretty, so.
No, it was great. It was. I enjoyed, even though I have no desire to play Ultima, it was interesting watching you and your stream and describing what was happening and all that kind of stuff.
You need to hold on to all of those things. Remember some time ago, I think we're coming up on the year, I think maybe this is the year or next year, where that science fiction book was, I can't remember the title of it, but they did all the hype around the book was creating this public crisis where some guy came back from the future and was blogging about his search for old Commodore parts and old Apple parts, all the analog.
Well, I've never seen that book. Interesting.
Yeah. So this guy, this traveler from the future created a blog so that he could connect with people throughout the world to get the analog parts that he needed, because this World War III that destroyed technology ruined the digital society, and so they had to go back to getting the
older computers and stuff to rebuild it.
So they had to go back and talk to the IBM programmers of that technology's gone. And it was a great marketing thing, because there were people who really thought that this guy had traveled from the future to get these parts.
Oh, wow. So,
Isn't that crazy? Have you heard about, there's like, I don't know, it's this urban legend or something about people that have been tweeting things from the future or something like that, you know?
Well, there's...
I can't remember what it was, but it was like people were looking at these Twitter accounts and they were trading messages back and forth, but it was supposed to be messages for the future or messages from the future or something like geez. That.
We can have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well,
there are people that fell for it, you know?
We're getting close to the end of the show here, so we need to do this. Sorry. The picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Thank you very much. And who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, Steve.
I want to give a shout out to Christ the Redeemer Church in the West Bay of the Cayman Islands. Hmm. We went to Sunday Mass there, and it was great. It was a wonderful parish to visit. And what I particularly liked is at the end of Mass, everything was over, they asked all the people who were visitors to stand up, and they sang this welcome song.
Oh, sweet.
And it was done in a Jamaican style and everything. And I know it sounds kind of hokey, and there's a lot of people that don't like that kind of thing, but that was the most welcome I've ever felt visiting somebody else's parish.
That was cool.
Parish.
Singing and a song really to you, yeah.
Because it was, you know, Jamaican style, very upbeat, very happy, and I loved it. So thanks to Christ the Redeemer Parish in the Cayman Islands.
Nice.
Excellent.
Yeah, very nice.
Father Corey, your pick.
Well, my pick is actually an article from the Telegraph in England, in UK, and it's about the largest gatherings of human history. Because when the Pope was over in Manila, Philippines, he had upwards of 6 million people at Mass.
Huh.
And which is incredible to think of a Mass that large, that big of a crowd. But according to this article, it wasn't the largest human history or human gathering in history. There's some pilgrimages to India for the Hindu religion that have had upwards of 30 million. When Ayatollah Khomeini died, there was around 10 million people who came for that funeral.
Hmm.
The Pope's gathering was something like the fifth or sixth largest gathering.
Hmm.
And, wow. But the next largest, the one right below it, was John Paul II for a World Youth Day event in 1995. There was 5 million people that went to see John Paul II for Mass that year. That's so it's kind of incredible. And then the first, you know, I guess you could call it non-religious, because everything else are funerals or like religious celebrations. The first one that's not is Rod Stewart had a concert of 3.5 million in Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, gosh.
I love Rod Stewart.
Wow. Okay. Well, a link to that will be in the show notes. And let's keep moving here with Maria and her pick.
All right. Well, I think in the past I have had a pick of the week that was Allison Gingras Reconciled to You website, and that she came out with a really cool app called Words with Jesus that gives you just one line of scripture daily and a very brief meditation. Like, so today's is what you hear whispered, proclaim upon the housetops, and that's from Matthew. And the meditation is, faith is meant to be shared. Each of us is given a unique way to do so. Today, may I discover mine. So I've really enjoyed the words with Jesus, because it just pops in every morning and I set the time for me to get a little hello from Jesus. But Allison has a radio show on Real Life Radio, and it's called A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, where she talks about books. So for all of you bookophiles or bibliophiles or librophiles or whatever the heck the Latin word for it is, if you like books, check out A Seeking Heart. So that's my pick of the week.
Wow, that's great. And appropriate for a show like Catholic Weekend. Now, my pick is not appropriate for a show like Catholic Weekend because it's nothing to do with Catholicism, but it has to do with we're talking about being geeky and techie and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if I mentioned this, you know, in a previous show or not, but I've been using it now for a couple of weeks and I love it. If you have a Mac and you have a iOS device, like an iPad, like an older generation iPad that's just hanging around, you're not doing anything with it, and you'd like to use it, like you'd like to have another display available, well, there's this app and software that you put on your Mac and then the app on the iOS device, and it turns your iPad into, or an iPhone, although it'd be a very small screen, into an extra monitor. And it's a direct connect. There's something that has been out for a while called Air Display that uses Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or something. And it's people complain about it, and it's not really very good. The frame rates are horrible. The resolution's terrible. But this actually uses the connection, the 30-pin or lightning connection, directly to your computer. And it's just like having an extra, you know, a very small screen, but it's been working great for me and doing my podcast. And I can put certain things over here in this window and this display, and I can concentrate. Well, anyway, it's a geeky thing, but it's called Duet Display, and you can find it at duetdisplay.com. And I highly recommend it. It's been very productive for me. Built by ex-Apple engineers. Delivering a Retina display at 60 frames per second with no lag.
Cool.
So, anyway, for you geeks out there who happen to be on the iOS or the Macintosh platform and have iOS devices, and you were thinking about it, it'd be nice to have an extra screen. There you go. All right.
Pretty cool.
And let's see. Another cup of coffee. I've seen some activity over there, Miss Maria Johnson.
Yes. Catch me at bagojohnson.com. Follow me on Twitter at bagel.
Okay.
And Patalos de Maria at wordpress.com. wordpress.com. And I'm blogging in Spanish.
Sweet. And Father Corey Stika. Father Corey.
Yeah, you can find me Facebook, Twitter, all those kind of fun things at Fr. Corey Stika, last name spelled Sticha, and my website for my homilies mostly is frcory.org.
Excellent. And finally, Everything Esteban.
Everything Esteban. Yeah, and when I get my act together and post some pictures, you might actually get to see me kiss a stingray.
Oh boy. Oh boy. And head over to airlinepilotguy.com and you will not see me kissing any stingrays. And that's where I am. So, hey, I hope everybody has a great weekend, a great Catholic weekend. Be here next week again for the next episode. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.